I don't like.
All right. Welcome to a sad Monday night podcast episode of Redline Radio. Bears. I mean, what's the adjective we want to use, Chief? Embarrassed?
Yeah, that was embarrassing. They got bullied. They got bullied. The Rams came ready to play. I think, you know, the Rams, that was like a prove it game for the Rams. Like, they looked like shit against, I think it was San Francisco last week. They came out and made a statement today. Like, they're a big boy football team, and the Bears are not.
What word would you use, Ed?
Just a dud. Like, because it's hard to – I mean, listen, it was embarrassing. Don't get me wrong. But we – like, our embarrassed meter as Bears fans, like, after Trestman is so high, you know? So I wasn't there because that's, like, on another level. Like, that's, like, that Packers game, like, Sunday night, like, turn the game off. But in right at the third quarter when it turned, it got pretty embarrassing. But yeah. I don't know. Before we continue, though, we should say this is brought to you by Miller Lite. I saw your blog, Carl. What time did you end up cracking the pregame beer?
My first pregame beer was at 4:45 p.m.
Just right. Did you feel it was a little early? Was that?
You know, I was in between. It was like, do I want to start or wait for the JP Graziano meatball sub? It's saying a JP Graziano ad read. But if you're going to ask me what time I open the beer, you plan around. Use your Miller Lite to plan around. So it was like, do I want to get in around this before or after dinner? And I was like, wait a second. Why don't I do the right thing? I'm going to get the sandwiches before and then just bulldoze my way getting into the game time. But it's a fun thing to think about anytime you've got Miller Lite in the conversation with the Bears. It's the best 1-2 punch there is.
It's a great point. Obviously, it's a different time now. You know, the virus seems to have spiked in Illinois and everything. So, you know, getting around people is a little different. We're on Zoom right now. We're sharing some Millers here after that sad loss. So Miller Lite, it is the great taste with only 96 calories and 3.2 carbs. However you and your friends are enjoying Miller time, you can have the original light beer delivered by going to MillerLite.com/redline and find the delivery options near you. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 96 calories and 3.2 carbs per 12 ounces. All right, so I guess let's do – what do you want? You like – just a vibe on Twitter. Like, should we do, like, ledge talk? Like, who's – like, where are we at on the ledge?
People are jumping off the ledge. Like, I think people are overreacting a little bit too much.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
I think so, too. I'm not close to the ledge, I'll be honest.
Yeah.
Like, I'm
five and two. Like, I put out a tweet being like, tonight's bad, but the team is not. And, there was a long list of people telling me to fuck myself for having even an ounce of like, I don't even know if it was even called positivity, but it's just like it's one bad night and it's a long way to go in the season. Like, I can't even see the ledge. Like, I'm just kind of cruising along. Like, they weren't going to go undefeated, you know, the rest of the way. It was a bad loss. And it was like, that's a team that you don't want to see them again, because they can kind of exploit like all the Bears weaknesses, interior line, all that kind of stuff. But I'm not ready to like just quit on the Bears. It was just a bad matchup and a bad game.
I think there's a way to talk about this without, you know, I think there's a way to talk about this without saying you quit or on the Bears or you're in or out on the Bears. It's just the primetime matchup against someone who would be considered a top three seed in the NFC. We're trying to get a litmus test. Like, is this Bears team going to be good enough to compete for the NFC Conference Championship, go through the playoffs, Packers, etc.? This is a great test coming out of that Panthers win. And the offense hangs three fucking points. The Nick Foles criticisms when they played the Colts, okay, it's your first start. Then they come out, there's a little bit of momentum. Then you have you're like, okay, fine. His fourth start, right? This is his fourth start.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what happens. Like, there's some momentum. He looked brutal. If Mitch hung that fucking game tonight, we'd be coming in here, all we'd be doing is talking about Mitch. We'd forget we had to do a Miller Lite ad read because all we'd be doing is burying fucking Mitch for that game Nick Foles just put up.
I don't think so, man. I got to disagree.
Yeah,
both touchdowns or both turnovers in the red zone?
Bad. I agree. Bad. I mean, very bad.
He was getting murdered all game long. He had no time.
Offensive line, and I think our play caller let us down. I'll be honest. Like, Sean McVay is light years ahead of Matt Nagy.
So we can't even get to – so where's the criticism falling? Just offensive line play, Matt Nagy, and then like Nick Foles – you get a fucking pass on this, but
I'm not saying he gets a pass. I think he falls in line. definitely falls in line, but I think he's clearly third in line, in my opinion. Clearly third in line.
Yeah, I would agree. And it's, you could say like, oh, if it was Mitch, we'd be killing him. I don't think we would. Not after what we saw tonight. I mean, that was more on Nagy.
Scored three points on a Monday Night Football game, guys. I'm sorry. Scored 3 points in a Monday Night Football game. Let's start there. Someone justify it.
Well, that's what we're doing right now, Carl. It's like we just said, he had no time. He's getting killed. Cole Kmet's nowhere to be found after the first drive. Yeah, the interception in the back of the end zone, and that was awful. It's a bad throw. He forced it in there, double coverage. But, I mean, he took a fucking beating all night long. Fucking Leonard Floyd had 2 sacks. Aaron Donald's in his face all night. Like, they had – Nick Foles had no time tonight.
There's not a quarterback in the NFL who's doing anything for the Bears tonight.
You need a guy who can just fucking run. Listen,
they had the ball in the 10-yard line 2 times, and he turned it over.
This is like such a dumb way to justify playing Mitch.
But I'm not saying anything about playing Mitch. I didn't say go play Mitch. All I said was if Mitch turned this game in, it would be fucking hammer time on Mitch. Nick Foles is third in line here. I get the offensive line was so bad, and I get the play calling was so bad. They could have, in the same respect that Nick Foles went out 1 game before, I think you can clearly say he took us out of the game. When you were like, fuck, man, they get one here. Little bit hair. The only reason it was even remotely close is because, I mean, even we're talking about is because, you know, if Eddie Jackson makes that play and then it's like, oh, they get a touchdown, they have a fucking, you know, get the onside kick. Other than that, that's it.
I just disagree. I think as a podcast, we've been pretty consistent with sharing the blame when the quarterback deserves it and when the head coach / play caller deserves it. Like, you go back and listen to Redline Radio in 2019. I think we were right there. This is the same fucking pile of shit that has been on our shoe for what? How many games now? 20 games now? Well, you know what I mean? This is 2019. But like, that was prototypical 2019. And like, I get what you're saying from a perspective, but I do think that's because Mitch became a punchline at the end for people on Twitter, if that makes sense. But I firmly believe that Nick Foles is third in line. Don't get me wrong. Like we said, there are issues in play right there. But I just think he's third in line today.
Do you think if they have a decent offensive line around him, like it's way better? I'm saying like decent. He can be way better.
If they had an average offensive line, they're probably hanging 28 points tonight. I mean, like Montgomery couldn't fucking find any ounce of wiggle room. He had one nice cutback where he had like a 15-yard run in the second quarter, I remember, and that was it.
Yeah.
I mean, like –
But I mean,
it was horrible. It was fucking horrible.
To steal your line about Jermaine Orfetti, it was Moon Buck Club against Aaron Donald tonight. Like, he was just getting pushed back into Nick Foles the entire night. And like, you saw Nick Foles scramble around or try to extend plays, whatever. He was just getting swallowed up. And it felt like the receivers weren't creating a ton of separation either. I think if first in line, though, I think it's got to be Nagy, because it's just like you have to know what the weakness of your team is. You know, that was like the punchline all off season. Oh, they got 11 tight ends. They don't fucking use them. You know what would help? Having your tackles are getting smoked, having a tight end in line who can chip block and then get out. Like, there are things that you can do to try to like buy yourself another half second, and they just like, they don't use the tight end at all. Everything's 4 wide, everything's gone. Like, I'm tired of Nagy more than anybody else.
I mean, they said in the middle of the game that Foles has to go to him and be like, hey, like, Nagy, I'm not having enough time to run these plays. Yeah. Like, there has to be an adjustment. Like, I mean, Foles been around the block. If he knows that, like, I don't know how Matt Nagy can't see that. I don't know what to say.
Nagy probably doesn't know Nick Foles said that, by the way. That probably came up in like a Saturday afternoon meeting at the hotel or something, when you sit down with the broadcast and they're just casually talking to Nick Foles. Like, so how's the transition going? Is it easy to call plays with Nat? Does he let you share stuff? And I can just see Nick Foles just casually being like, yeah, you know, some adjustments we make. That's going to be a fucking story. Like, as I'm telling you, I'm sure that came up and Nagy has no clue. And because my ears perked up, Ed, you bring it up, I'm sure so many people listening to this heard that on the broadcast and were like, wait a second, why does Nick Foles have to go to the fucking play calling head coach and explain this to him? This would be, this, I would anticipate this being a storyline throughout the week.
I could see that 1,000%. It could have been something mm-hmm. where they sat there with Greasy and fucking Steve Levy and said, like, oh, it's good. Like, we got comfortability. I could tell them, like, hey, we're not going to have enough time, which who knows the context or whatever. But it pretty sounded pretty blatant in context from the announcer. So,
yeah.
I don't know, man.
Is that good or bad? Because seriously, though, I'm not trying. This isn't shtick. Like, if when Mitch was the quarterback, Mitch would never do that, right? So, like, is it a good or bad thing?
Mitch didn't do it because I don't think he.
Yeah, he can't think about it. So it's like the pig theory. Would you rather have the quarterback who's just like, whatever, I'll just do what Nagy says, or like Nick Foles being like, hey, actually, coach, this doesn't work. Or does it matter? I mean, is tonight's the type of game where we sit back as Bears fans, we're like, I guess it just doesn't fucking matter.
No, it was just bad, man. That was just a dud.
Do you want to talk about the defense a little bit?
What do you want to say about the defense?
I thought Roquan Smith was fucking terrible tonight. I thought he piled up some tackles in the second half. But they were all like 8 yards downfield and he was getting just pushed back like 5-7 yards before he even made contact. I thought he was horrible tonight. Hicks, a lot of penalties, but I mean, what else can you say about him? He's an animal. Mac is an animal. Robert Quinn, he seems like a ghost to me. Is that mine taking crazy pills or is
he?
Yeah, he
had 6 pressures last week.
Yeah.
He did. So he's okay, he's just not getting home a lot.
Yeah.
He had the forced fumble tonight too.
Okay, cool. So all right, well never mind. I take that back then. But I was watching Roquan very specifically tonight and he was fucking horrible.
I just don't know how much you can blame the defense. Certainly, they were out of position on that first touchdown.
About both sides of the ball. Obviously, the focal point is the trash bag offense and the guy calling the plays for the trash bag offense. But
yeah, I think that, and I mean, certainly, there's a little criticism to be had. Like they weren't, you know, but that would seem designed by Sean McVay to catch him snoozing with that first touchdown, and that's exactly what they did. Gibson, he gets that interception that could change a lot of things. That was a turning point.
What is he doing there?
I think he's trying to pop it up, right?
It looked like it was a fucking volleyball spike.
Yeah, I didn't understand that. But then they were like, the only player, you know, they were like, he's got – who are the two players that have more interceptions than him since 2012? They read the stat off where he's got the third most interceptions over the last 8 full seasons in the NFL. So as I'm sitting yelling at the TV, I'm like, what the fuck are you doing trying to pop that ball up? They're like, nobody – it kind of takes a sting off a little bit, but then you're like, why the fuck can you not make that play and take a pick 6?
And that guy, I tell you, who's arguably the Rams MVP?
The fucking punter.
I mean, don't
Johnny
do
Hecker.
It.
It's why? Johnny Hecker, man.
Why?
It's Johnny Hecker. You're putting a bad
what
offense.
What the fuck is this guy?
I mean, dude, someone tweeted he's that if Rams would have won the Super Bowl, there were a lot of people saying he would have gotten the MVP of that game. I never heard of him until
tonight. Oh, yeah. Good. Oh, yeah. He's the man. McAfee for the brand. Like, he's been – he's been the guy for a while. Johnny Hecker's the truth. You put a bad offense in a bad situation every single time, it's just not going to go well. Like, you know what I mean? If you look at the game as a game of percentages and you keep backing up a team that doesn't have their fucking offensive line in order, doesn't have their play calling in order, doesn't run the ball particularly well or particularly like to run the ball in general, you're just not going to have a good time.
Yeah.
And well, we did have a good time.
I watched like your halftime video where it's like, hey, it's a bloody knuckles game. It's this, it's that. And it's like, yeah, he's right. Like, let's fucking go. Like, second half, make, you know, let's go out there. And then they punt it down. It's on the 1 yard line for the first drive of the second half. It's just like, fuck. Like, yep. Here we go. Like, this is not going to be good. And he dominated the game. So
he did. A lot of people are mad at Ted Ginn. Understandable.
I mean, what are you going to do there, though? Understandable, but, you know,
there's absolutely points where it's like, I mean, he kind of got lucky in the process where the bounce didn't do much to really negate him doing a fair catch, you know, inside the 10. But obviously a veteran, you've hoped there'd be no errors, you know?
Yeah.
The only thing that I noticed about that one was he didn't even need to fair catch it. He could have just caught it, and he had a lane down the left side. So, like, he would have had to turn around a little bit. But I would have let it go, too, and hoped for the touchback. So –
But how many times can you get beat on the same type of decision? You know, like you're not like it's not going in for a touchback.
I mean,
he did it like a fucking 100 times tonight.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think a punter has the ability to punt the ball like that. They try to, obviously, but it's not like
he does. They made a point like they he
the
has,
watermelon.
The fucking watermelon.
There's a ton of like luck involved, obviously.
No, Dave, like watch YouTube videos on Johnny Hecker.
I'm going to do that.
He's dude, like,
I'm
honestly, gonna do that. It's
one of those. It's like fucking playing roulette. One of them has to land on red eventually.
Like, listen, like that hurt because obviously it was against us. But if I'm just watching that game as a casual viewer, that's like beautiful to watch.
Oh yeah, fuck yeah,
very pretty. I just think, you know what, and he's taking a lot of flack this year and kind of at last year because the Rams didn't have a great year. But I thought Sean McVay called a great game. Like he kind of, you know, he led early with the dink and dunks, mm-hmm. and he was finding guys in the seam. There was huge plays there in the you know the third quarter.
Those where, fucking jet sweeps too.
Yeah, he just you know, they got two fucking you know at least fucking Henderson. Like he's a bad dude at Memphis, man. I like him a lot. The Rams were, they seemed for real, and it was annoying because the Bears were getting that talk of like, oh, okay, but who have they beat besides, you know, Tampa Bay. And, you know, maybe the Panthers. Coming in, all the fucking Rams have beat was the NFC East,
yeah.
which is dog shit.
Mm-hmm.
So I was kind of getting mad at that, but, hey, the Rams, they're a good team, man. And, yeah, I don't know. It was pretty demoralizing.
You know, yeah. I just want to – sorry, before we get technical stuff with the McVay, one thing I want to point out with McVay versus Nagy, the most disappointing and glaring thing – wasn't play calling tonight between them. It was just having balls. And Nagy at the end of the first half just rolling in and not blowing the timeout. Like, you don't have to look at the play sheet in the second half or the first half. Like, it's just disgusting to me that he doesn't do stuff like that. McVay takes advantage of every single opportunity. And, like, it doesn't matter. It just kills me watching Nagy take a knee at the end of the first half. And then it's like McVay running fucking jet sweep with Cooper Kupp, taking Henderson, moving fucking piles down at the end of the – like, he just – at the end of the game, Sean McVay had just completely imposed his game plan on the Chicago Bears. He ran it down our fucking throats. He beat us down. Like, he had done exactly what he set out to do.
But, hey, look what happened. Nagy did get aggressive. Tried to go for it on 4th-and-1 inside our 20, which was really wild in the first place. And then Rashad Coward jumps off sides. And completely negates it. You know, it's like, hey, if you know, the older brother's not fucking up, it's a younger brother. You know, mm-hmm. and it's just constantly like, hey, I'm trying to do the fucking dishes, and I can't get nothing done. You know, so.
I thought you were gonna bring up it was 3rd or 4th-and-1, and they throw it.
Oh, Cordarrelle Patterson, yeah, the step out on 4th-and-goal is that's just. That's a sellout on play calling, and I'm just trying to say before you can even get to the play calling, like you just don't even have faith in your team. But Chief, that's number one, 1A, 1B, slam dunk Cordarrelle Patterson. What is he doing?
But guys, what do we say about that? We've went through that ad nauseum, right? This was the same shit last. He's loved to. He has like you just do the same thing over and over
but
again.
But do you learn from your mistakes?
Apparently not. That's why it's so crazy, right? How long have we been complaining
about? We learn
about
from
that?
Our mistakes more than Matt Nagy does. We make adjustments quicker than that fucking guy does.
we need to have Nagy on for a snake draft, see how he'd fuck up.
Chief, can you take me through your Cordarrelle Patterson reaction? White Sox Dave, I can't be the only person slamming the...
That was the moment where, like, if they had fired him, like, just called down from the owner's box and just fired him right then, I would have been totally fine with it. Like, let someone else run the team. And, yeah, it's just, it's infuriating because it feels like a team that has a lot of very good pieces and a great defense, and they're going to end up like disappointing us in some way. They'll go 9-7, 10-6. We'll probably make the playoffs. And like this whole thing is going to end. And it's like the whole Bears cycle where it's like we get excited, we want, you know, and then the defense is great. And it's like time is a flat circle. And here we are again. The offense sucks and we're like miserable. And you're going to have to fire everybody. And it's like we've seen this play before. So,
very good chance.
Yeah,
very good chance. I mean, I don't. We got 10 games left.
Yeah.
5 against the division, next week against the Saints, week after that against the Titans, then the Vikings bye. Mm-hmm. We got two games against bad teams that are not in the division, Jacksonville and the Texans. So I still think, barring like a total collapse, like we're still going to make the playoffs here.
Yeah.
But you're right. Like, what team are we going to be in the playoffs?
Nobody wastes championship defense more than the Chicago Bears.
Exactly. Ugh. You're right. And it's like, what are we going to do? Are we going to just hope and pray that we draw the NFC East and then we'll probably fucking fuck that up somehow too? You know? What?
What Super Bowl is this?
Last year was LIV. So what's that, Dave? You're the Roman numeral guy.
It'd just be LIV. So it'd be LX, I think. So 60, right? Anyways.
Why do you ask?
Because Ryan just brought up a kind of funny point. The Bears have won one Super Bowl in the Super Bowl era. How many dominant defenses have they had in the Super Bowl era?
All of them.
55. And they have fucking one Super Bowl. And none of us were even alive, other than Ryan, because he's old.
I wasn't alive. Fuck you.
We're probably close. You might have been, like, conceived at that point.
I was conceived.
That's the saddest part is, like, you could say, oh, same old story as last year. This is the same old story as the fucking Bears have been around, man. You know, this is it, guys. This is our life.
This is our life.
Jonathan Quinn starts next week, I heard. Craig Krenzel backing him up. I mean, yeah, it is bad. It's like I was actually sent out a tweet. I was like, I haven't been this embarrassed since. And I had to go through. I was like, I picked Casey Clawson or Jimmy Clawson or whatever his fucking name is, or the Clawson pickle. Mm-hmm. But like, you, literally, pick of the litter, man. I mean, it could be anybody. It could be the Mark Trestman years. It could be the Greg Krenzel years. It could be the fucking, you know, I'm sure Brian Greasy years when he won a game on a 2-minute drive, but there was controversy. Like, just crazy stuff, man. We suck.
We got to, like, as soon as this is over, we got to do, like, the Browns version. Or, you know, the Bears version of the Browns jersey. Like, put that on a T-shirt. Krenzel, Quinn, Cordell Stewart, Trubisky, Cade McNown, all these Shane fucking Matthews, all these guys. It's just, like, the same fucking thing over and over and over again.
Someone tweeted at me, can we have two bury the ball games?
Can we have what?
Can we have two bury the ball games because we did it for Indianapolis? I don't think we can.
We burned that card too early. We should, like, go on and talk about learning from your mistakes. We should know you don't bury the ball in the first
quarter. That's right. Well, you know what? We won't make that mistake next year. No one will be looking at us next year, week five, being like, we thought we told these guys don't bury the ball this early. Next year, we'll be like, oh, wait, we did this last year.
Yeah.
Where Matt Nagy would be burying the ball week fucking one.
So maybe we should give Matt Nagy a little leeway, because every year, like, we sign up for this. We don't learn.
Maybe, yeah. But I listen, we're here. I mean, this is Redline Radio's here. Redline Radio's here, and I think we're going to ride this out, man. Football, you know, meaningful football is meaningful football, and, you know, by the chance that, you know, teams do figure it out, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Teams do figure it out. The Bears have never figured it out, seemingly, in our lifetime, but just a fucking prayer and the hope that we can figure it out has got to keep you moving, and that's all I can say.
Big well said, Ed. Beautiful. Well fucking said. Well fucking said. Mm-hmm. I know that Chief is sitting there going, thinking the exact same thing. Like, this is a Bears team, can win despite its quarterback, can win despite its play calling, and there needs to be a miracle on the offensive line.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my God.
Exactly. So, I think
sorry, Dave.
I think that's it. Saints next week. Another big team, you know. Obviously, they've had their troubles, but you got Drew Brees and – you know, he hasn't been great either, but
I like the Bears in that game.
Boy, me too. Yeah. I'll guess.
No breaks.
Bear down.
There you go, Dave. We needed that mustard.